Dave Revort is a member of Guelph's gay community. Yet, to describe him as only a member of the gay community does him somewhat of a disservice. Dave is a well-known advocate of gay rights and, by profession, a therapist whose clients include those within the gay, lesbian, transgendered, and homosexual community. Being a parent himself, he speaks for gay fathers, and we'll be on CFRU next week during Queer Identities Week to discuss issues of importance to gay fathers. However, he's also here in the studio with me today talking about an alarming experience with a fraud caller whose intent was to get money from individuals who are members of the gay community. And these include individuals who are supportive of gay rights, such as the Parents for Gays and Lesbians, or PFLAG, in Guelph. Dave, first I want to start with welcoming you to CFRU, and I'd like to ask you to describe what really took place.
Okay, thanks, Sheila. About a month ago, I received an alarming call at about 10 o'clock at night. Somebody who called me collect, and in the message it was, "Dave, pick up the phone." And I was alarmed by this, so of course I accepted that they collect call charges. And the person proceeded to tell me that he was gay bashed in Toronto, that somebody had stuck a knife in his back and had hospitalized him, basically, had beaten him up. He had told me that he was just released from the hospital after 24-hour stay, and he couldn't get a hold of any of his friends.
Dave, would this have been an unusual event in your life?
Well, Sheila, occasionally I do get unfortunate calls from people that have been in that same experience. I know in Hamilton there was an individual that was gay bashed. So occasionally I do get those calls, people that have been in an experience violated to this degree. So it didn't come to a great surprise to me that this type of call could potentially happen. The guy proceeded to talk to me, and basically what it was is a phone scam, and I found this out about a week later. But what he proceeded to do is he asked me for monies. He wanted to get into his car. They said he stole his keys and his wallet and had no access to cash. He wanted to make a key and get into his car. So he was asking for $245. Through the conversation, he used a lot of tactics, such as, "Well, of course you know me. We exchanged business cards." Still didn't clue into who the gentleman was. So in his tactics of scamming, he used a lot of guilt to get me to hear him out. And of course, I was very concerned about this person who at the time I perceived to be somebody who was gay bashed. So through the conversation, which lasted half an hour, I ended up sending him $60 so that he could get home. He told me that home was Kitchener. So through a process of sending money through Money Mart, I sent $60. He had said that he could receive the money on his end without any identification by answering a password sort of a question. You know, so I would say, your favorite color is, and he would answer green and be able to pick up the money in Money Mart without identification.
Dave, how did you feel about this story, both before and after you found out it was a fraud?
Well, I guess at first, when I first got the call, it was certainly alarming. I mean, anybody from the community or communities that would be gay bashed, I mean, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. So did my best to sort of decipher whether this guy was a scam artist, because that was my first thought. But then his story was so convincing, and I've heard a lot of stories over the years, but this guy's story in particular was convincing, that I thought, you know, it's better to assist just in case. So initially there was the empathy towards somebody.
Okay.
I found out a couple of days later, the conductor of the Rainbow Chorus here in Guelph had given me a call, Bob Miller. He had received a call the same night from this person, and he called me, but he said, "Dave, are you okay?" And I didn't know what he was talking about. He says, "Well, somebody called on Tuesday night pretending they were you, trying to scam him for money." Now, Bob knows me fairly well and knows my voice, mm-hmm. and knows that that it wouldn't have been me calling. and he put an end to it, and he just basically talked to the gentleman for a bit and then just basically said he wasn't going to assist because he knew it wasn't me.
But Dave, he didn't call into question his identity. Call him for what it was, for a fraud.
I think Bob probably did do that. Mm. I think he did call him because he didn't obviously give him any money. So I'm not quite sure exactly what happened in the conversation with Bob, but I know that Bob wouldn't have allowed this person to move forward with the scam. So he would have challenged him. But that worried me initially. I guess my initial reaction, I'm just backing it up a bit, my initial reaction the next day when he didn't call me to, you know, thank me or to, and this is the scammer, I thought, okay, I was scammed, and I didn't think much of it.
Yeah.
And so I thought $60. But then when I got the call on the Friday from Bob Miller saying, you know, Dave, this happened again, I thought, ooh, he's scamming more of the community. Yeah. So we started collecting a little bit of information. There were some people in the Rainbow Chorus, some activists that started collecting some information, which I really appreciated to get started. And they were encouraging me to report it to the police. About 3 weeks passed, and then I started getting calls from across Ontario from activists that I know in Halton, Toronto, PFLAG members here in Guelph. Were contacted, and they were, the scam artist was using my name, my professional name, to try to scam them for money. So they were calling me first off to see if I was okay, and then trying to figure out what this person was really after. So from there, I took it to the police and I reported it to Constable Arif from the fraud unit, who did an amazing job at taking the information and is now working with me on this case.
Good. Very closely.
Yeah, Dave, I have an article from the Tribune dated October 12th saying that this caller had targeted you a month previously. You said about a month ago. Has there been any development since what you had said to me?
I guess taking it through to the media and to the police and doing a press release, I have had some callers and emails. I also did a distribution to gay media across Canada and through the States. And as a result of that, have had probably at least a dozen, if not 20 people responding, saying that they've experienced scams as well recently, but also up to about a year and a half ago. I know in Hamilton, this scam had hit there about a year and a half ago from the reports that I've been getting from them, scamming the business community of Hamilton, the gay or the queer business community of Hamilton, for quite a bit of money. I received an email from one person in, I believe it was Nova Scotia, who had also been scammed about a year ago. So I guess new developments, we're compiling information. We're trying to get video surveillance of those money marts when people do report it. So in part, what I'm coming forward with is if you have been scammed, to get in contact with myself or with Constable Arif, and we'll give the information later, but to come forward with that information so that we can track the video surveillance of money marts or Western Unions, so that we can find a picture of this person to publicize it in the newspapers, so that we can at least stop the scam. The other thing that we're trying to do with this broadcast, as well as with the media releases, is basically informing all communities. This scam was targeting the LGBT community, or the lesbian, gay, bi, transgendered, transsexual community. But this type of scam happens in other communities. We've heard it happening against seniors. We've heard it against other marginalized communities. So it's not just against us. This one specifically happens to be targeted towards our communities.
Well, I suppose any community that is, as you say, marginalized could be very vulnerable to this sort of target. Just for the benefit of our listeners, who knows, might be targeted one day, could you describe the caller?
Yeah, a male caller. It was interesting because I know there's a lot of stereotypes out there about what the gay community sounds like, mm-hmm. and they are stereotypes, so I will highlight that first. This was a male who, at times during the conversation, had an effeminate stance to his voice, and I know that's a stereotype, because mm-hmm. I know many people in the gay community that aren't like that. But this particular person either researched the gay community and figured taking on a bit of an effeminate voice might be more convincing, perhaps. Mm-hmm. In actuality, I don't know if this is somebody from the gay community or the queer community. Mm-hmm. I mean, anybody potentially who's looking for money can research any community well enough to find enough about the community to use it within their scam, as obviously this gentleman did, or the scam artist did. We know that he's working in a pair. He's working with another individual who is not on the phone per se, at least not for myself, but I heard somebody in the background, and I had asked him if there was somebody there, and he said, oh no, it was just the Money Mart staff member, which in actuality I found out later wasn't true, because one of the other people that were phoned to be scammed had talked to this other individual. So we do know that he's working in pairs. The report that I got back from my colleague is that the second person had sounded quite stoned in communication. So is this a scam to finance somebody's drug habit or to travel around Canada, or we don't know. One of the things that's really scary about this is that there has been reports back from the United States that this person has scammed people for up to, including 400 and 600 American. And it works so well, this scam, because of the differences between Canada and the United States around health coverage. This person is saying he's in Canada, perhaps is from the States, can't get health coverage because he's in Canada and he's American, asking, for example, Americans for money. So this isn't just a Guelph scam. Yes. Essentially, this is an international scam.
And you believe it's the same person?
Yeah, we do believe it's the same person, because the same, it's the exact same story. That's being said, you know, got stabbed, just got out of hospital, no friends are around to help this person, line for line, it's the same scam. The only thing that changes is that as the caller scams people, he's also pulling identity fraud. And what I mean by that is, when he called me, he attained some information about my personal life, my partner's name, about where I live, the type of work that I do, and then he would start calling people in the community that may know my name and might know my partner's name. So then he would say, hey, it's Dave Vervoort calling, and he used my partner's name and said my partner and I were both gay bashed, and that my partner was in the hospital presently with his mouth wired shut. So he's using tactics like this to attain the monies, or the empathy, I guess, from people to get money.
This sounds very alarming. I want to tell listeners that that we will have the contact information for Dave Vervoort at the end of this show, at the end of this interview. Right now, what I'd like to get into, and one thing which I find a bit confusing about this whole story, is that I'm wondering, I'm trying to get my head around what this caller is intent, which I know is to get money, but his methodology, which I find quite funny, in that he got $60 from you, although he asked for nearly $250. He did get some money from you. Had he gone on within the community saying exactly the same story, who knows, he might have been successful until this really came to light. But then he went on pretending he was you, which is making me wonder, one, well, is he foolish? Wouldn't he have known that this would have been found out eventually? Or would have been found out quite quickly, actually. And so in which case would it have been a cry in some ways, or could it alternatively have been that through vengeance, here was a man who through vengeance wanted to make the gay and gay supportive community look stupid through whatever reasoning, through vengeance, through whatever, look vulnerable, look gullible, and which of course didn't work. I mean, it was very quickly brought to light what was happening here, and that there was a scam going on. Any thoughts that you would have on this?
Well, that's a good question, Sheila, and I think everything that you said has a possibility. Is this a cry for help? Well, very possibly. I know that some people do commit crimes, and this is a crime. Mm-hmm. Do commit a crime, and sometimes I've heard that those individuals at some point are hoping to be caught. Mm-hmm. So that is a possibility. I mean, anything is a possibility at this point. As far as vengeance, I mean, that's another possibility. I know that there are still people out in the community that have difficulties with people that are like myself or like other people in our queer community, mm-hmm. that are expressive about finding
of
safety,
your rights. Yes.
Of our rights, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So it is possible that this person is preying upon the rights of the LGBT community, mm-hmm. By hitting them up for finances. I mean, it's a perfect opportunity for this person to do that, because mm-hmm. the queer communities are coming together and finding support in and amongst our community and amongst our allies. Mm-hmm. So is it possible that this person is targeting as a vengeance place? Certainly, I wouldn't rule that out. As far as a cry for help, perhaps I didn't quite understand that part of your question, so maybe if you could just elaborate on your thought on that, and then I'll be able to respond to it.
Seems to me that whatever it is, this is a very perverse motivation, mm-hmm. for this sort of occurrence to take place. It seems to me that to have done something so stupid, when this person was so methodical in his trying to integrate on paper, in the community with the knowledge of members of the community, either high-profile members or not high-profile members, that to have done something so stupid in using your name as a high-profile member, and perhaps he didn't know. He didn't know your stature within the community here.
Okay. I think I have a sense of what your question was. I mean, he did use a number of names, like, for example, Bob Miller from the Rainbow Chorus, mm-hmm. who's also very well known within the community. There's a number of names that he could have used to easily target members of the community to access that kind of money. As far as his tactic of using perhaps better known names, may have worked for him, may have worked against him. Mm. I think for those people that may know Bob's name or my name, just as a passerby name, as somebody who is an activist in the community but may not know us personally, that's where it would work in his favor, because then, you know, if he were to contact members of the communities and use Bob's name or Dave's name, that they would be compelled then to assist in whatever way they could. Where it's working against him, I guess, is that, like I said, when I received calls from Halton Region and from PFLAG Guelph, as well as from Pride was it London? Toronto? That those people know me from my work and know my voice. They know a little bit more about me, so that they could test the person by mm-hmm. saying, well, what's Dave's partner's name? Mm-hmm. You know, so those people were smart enough to be on the ball when this person called, to be able to decipher that really this was a scam artist. So yes. Congratulations to those people, but yes. I feel bad for those people that did get scammed, like myself,
yes.
having been scammed. So I guess by using
But as for yourself, it was all an entirely plausible story.
Yes.
And you were the first, as far as you know, within the community here.
Well, at the time, the first within the city of Guelph. Mm-hmm. But as I got reports from other cities, like I had said, Nova Scotia, Hamilton, Toronto, and then some reports from people that had attended the International Gay and Lesbian Choral Festival in Montreal in July. As those reports come in, it's clear that I'm not the first person to have been scammed by this person. I mean, a year and a half ago, as I said, he scammed the people in Hamilton, the communities in Hamilton. It just happens that the story perhaps didn't hit the media at that time. I have been very fortunate by having to report it to the community here, as well as the police station, that they took the full report and are working with me on this. So I'm very thankful that my experience has been positive from the point of view of reporting it. So I really encourage anybody else to report it to, like I said, Arif or myself, or bring your story forward. I do understand that the community of Hamilton, those individuals that were scammed, did report it to the police. My understanding, to this point at least, is that nothing has been done about it since then. But the good thing is that the report has been filed. Okay. So if we have enough reports that are filed, then there's at least enough evidence, hopefully, to move forward on finding this person. Or if not finding the person, educating the communities, not just the gay and lesbian, bi, transgender, transvestite community, but all communities about phone scams. And that's really what this is about.
Good point, Dave. In light of this, would you be able to give us contact information of both the police officer dealing with this, Officer Arif, and your contact information?
Certainly. The contact information for Arif, Constable Arif, is if you call through to the City of Guelph Police Station, Fraud Unit specifically, if you call 824-1212 and ask for extension 235 and leave a report or ask to speak directly to Arif. The other way that you can leave information in regards to this is if you were to send me an email. You could send it to davevervoort@simpatico.ca, or you could send in a call, and my work number is 519-821-5163.
Thanks, Dave. So your intent with this is to get the message out to, as you say, not only the gay community, but to any marginalized communities in this sense. Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. David, just want to go back to something we were talking about earlier, which is now, being that what I've heard you use before is the LGBT community, which is the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual community. But I hear there's even more letters onto this. Would you be able to tell us that?
Thanks, Sheila. That's great. It sounds to some way like alphabet soup. And the reason why it's so important to capture as many acronyms within this this word, I guess, is so that we recognize that each of the communities are individuals that have individual struggles. So for example, the lesbian community has very different issues than the gay community, as the transgendered community has very different issues than the two-spirited community. So it's really important that we use this kind of alphabet soup way of describing the communities. So the acronym that is being used more now is LGB3TIQ. And we've also added the letter A at the end as out of our conversation earlier today. And what that stands for is lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, transsexual, two-spirited, intersexed, queer, questioning, and our favorite, the allies. So this acronym, please start using it, because I think it's a great way of recognizing a number of the communities. And I know that within that acronym, it does leave out, you know, transvestites and cross-dressers and a number of other parts within the marginalized communities. But if we can start educating people that mm-hmm. the communities is made up of a wide rainbow or umbrella mm-hmm. of individuals mm-hmm. that make it up, it's I guess, worthwhile education.
Great, Dave. Thank you. Again, Sheila O'Reilly talking on CFRU with Dave Revoit, a member of the LGBT3TIQA communities here in Guelph. And thanks so much for talking. And anything else to add?
Well, Sheila, I just wanted to thank you for taking this time to do this broadcast. And the other thing I wanted to thank you for is your community involvement. I know that you've been very involved with the multifaceted anti-oppression work that you do. And I appreciate that because I think all of this work is about oppression. So thank you for that commitment to our community.
Thanks so much, Dave, for coming in today. Thank you.